Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Elika Group First Half 2023 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giulio Cocchi, CEO of Elika. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining our call. We will be discussing a difficult quarter in a difficult H1, in a difficult 12-month rolling period, but from which we in our perspective, have shown how solid are our fundamentals. If we directly move to slide number 3, where there are the quarter 2 highlights. First of all, net sales. Now, we see an organic decrease in our revenues of almost 14%. Here, we are facing a very challenging market scenario, both in cooking and in modern division. Now, cooking business is basically keeping a negative mark since the second half of last year. Very strong in our OEM customers, but also partially affecting, in some areas, our brand business. Modern division, starting from May, is facing a slowdown, a destocking period. Now, that will be stronger in quarter 3, but that we imagine will be normalizing in the last part of the year. In this environment, our priority has been, first of all, to defend our margin, so to generate enough margins, cash, to continue to invest in our long-term project. The second quarter operating margin reached went back to 6%, so reaching the average of 2022, despite decreasing volumes. And this thanks our continuous activities of cost containment from an industrial perspective, from an SG&A, from a corporate, from a marketing perspective, that have allowed us, in the last couple of years, to improve dramatically our operational lever. The second factor that was sustaining our profitability was for sure the realization that we finalized during 2022 of our footprint, industrial footprint relocation in Europe. So today we have a Polish plant, which is producing, let's say, the belly of the market, in a more efficient, in a more competitive, and in a more flexible way. Flexibility in a moment of low demand is really a success factor if you want to defend your margin. In this environment, with almost 35 million euros revenues less, we have been able to keep our leverage stable with a net financial position that remains fully under control, despite, in the very beginning of the year, as you remember, we have paid the last tranche of the acquisition of EMC, and we have been continuing investing on ourselves with our buyback program. If we move to the following slide number 4, instead than directly commenting the H1 results, I would focus on the charts on the right side of the slide, where it is evident that despite, since the second half of last year, so in the last 12 months, we have been facing a very difficult demand scenario, our margins have been sustained, our margins have been resilient, our margin keeps being stronger and stronger. It's ready, we will be discussing about this in the last part of the presentation, to grow immediately as soon as we will see the demand at least normalizing, stop falling, as we have been seeing in the last 12 months. Same for what concerns the net financial position. This chart shows stability in a very discontinuous period. From an inflationary perspective, let's not forget that last year we have been able to defend our margin with 60 million euros inflationary effect on our costs, and then with a demand drop that is putting really under stress our organization, our factories, our way of managing our costs and defending our margins. Stefania.
Good afternoon to everyone. Moving in, turning to slide number six, industry trend. Global industry demand is unchanged respect to the previous quarter, with a persistent negative market since the beginning of the last year. We still see in Europe a double-digit reduction, with no improvement versus the last quarter. Latin America, -10%, while we see in North America a weak demand recovery, even if it remain negative. We need to underline for the North America that the estimation is based on the local market research that is covering the 40% of the market, and is referring to all cooking segments, that is including also freestanding range cookers. Taking consideration the momentum of the market, could be more representative, this number of North America, for the replacement demand, and less to the market linked to our category products, as the new building, new construction. Turning to slide number eight, sales dynamic. If you go through the sales dynamic, what we can see in the quarter two, the negative market trend and the pressure on mix due to a lower consumer power purchase affected the quarter turnover result. With a sales drop of -14% versus last year. On top of this, the weakness of the demand pushed in a strong promotional market environment, the dynamics. We start to see after several years, basically from the launch of this category product, aspiration hubs, the demand for this kind of product turned in negative, also for some major country where the size of this, of the demand is the important one, like Germany. Moving into slide, turning to slide number nine. If you go through the sales dynamic between region, the trend performance across region is almost homogeneous among them versus last year. By the way, it's not comparable among them due to the different category mix, motors and cooking for the EMEA country, and also for different channel in America, that is a market mainly driven by the B2B customer. While in EMEA, there is a presence for both kind of distribution channel, both for OEM and for own brand. More representative is the next slide, turning to slide number 10. Here you have the mix and the trend between motor and cooking. As we already said, we faced during the quarter two, at the end of the quarter two, a sudden reduction on motor demand, driven by the heating segment, mainly linked to the uncertainty around the construction market, the new buildings and the transaction of the new house. Also the review for some country, like Germany, of the regulation relating to the ban of gas, because for Germany, the ban of gas has been extended till 2026, but also with a different impact, with a different transition. By the way, for what is concerning the motor, we are confident for the future that this category, considering the push that will come from the energy transition, when it will take acceleration. Regarding the cooking performance, is in line with the previous quarter, and is almost linked to the market trend. Turning to slide number 11, if you move the breakdown between OEM and own brand, we see the OEM business with a reduction in this quarter, -23%, but with a recovery versus the last quarter, where we recorded minus 30%. Thanks to the impact of the head-on of a new customer, Home Depot, that started the collaboration since the month of April. In fact, if you look at the trend for the first 6 months for UM, we can see an organic growth minus 27% because the first quarter, as I said, it was worse than this quarter. In terms of own brand performance, compared versus the last year is negative, but we have to take in consideration that the last quarter was a record quarter for our brand. We achieved an important growth with a double-digit growth, and also the boost of the aspiration hubs affected positive the last quarter. But by the way, if you compare the result of this our brand, home brand, compared to the previous quarter, is exactly in line. Turn to the financial and economics, slide number 13. As also Julia said, here you have the comparison quarter on quarter. Sequentially, margin improved for 80 basis points in the current quarter, despite a lower turnover, less 4 million versus the previous quarter. The best quarter since the beginning of the demand drop, and this is important, result is reflecting also in all financial indicators, with an important progression in terms of net profit because we came back at the same result at the beginning of 2022. And I repeat again that the first two quarters of the last year, it was a very record quarter, Q1 and Q2, in terms of EBIT, in terms of net sales, in terms of net profit. And also, we have also to underline that the comparison versus the Q2, there was a positive effect, a temporary effect due to the positive exchange of Rublo that has been absorbed in the second half of the last year. Moving on to line number 14, if you go directly to the H1 result, so with the minus 35 million of turnover of sales drop, we have a demonstration of our agile to react on this difficult scenario. Thanks to the leverage of the new EMEA footprint, and thanks also to the action on cost takeout that we put in place that offset more than the half of the impact of the negative margin related to the 35 million less respect to the last year. And a further confirmation that our structure of cost is flexible according to the sales trend is also the data of the EBITDA margin, almost in line with the last year, 10.2 versus the last year that was 10.5%. Moving to slide number 15, for what is concerning the net financial position, a stable net financial position despite the important revenue drop, thanks to the net working capital management, inventory is under control, and also we are leveraging on further progression about the project of supply chain finance project. The last year, she did a very good contribution in our net financial position, net working capital. We are carrying on this project also for the small suppliers and for the other suppliers of our motor division. During the first half, we generated 8.8 million of free cash flow, useful to finance 6.5 million of the last tranche of M&A MC acquisition, the 2 million for the last part of the footprint of the relocation, and 0.6 related to the program of buyback program. And we keep the same level of the last year. As you can see also, the gap versus the last year in terms of net financial position is the same for which we opened the current year. So the 6 million the current year you can find directly also in the closure on the H1 results. I leave the stage to Giulio for the closing.
Okay, thank you, Stefania. So what do we take away from this H1 2023? We take away first that the demand is still negative and in our perspective will be negative also for the second part of the year. And the commercial environment will be, especially on some product families, strongly promotional. We are fighting, we are ready to keep fight. We are defending our shares, and this is what we are going to do, also counting on a wider product range that will allow us to play on many products instead of one. We take away that we have solid fundamentals, because with these revenues, if we didn't do all the action that we did in the last couple of years, that we did in the first 6 months of this year, that we are going to do in the next, in coming months, and if it is necessary, years, we keep a marginality that is in line with the record of this company, but then moreover is still a marginality that keeps inside a strong inflationary effect on our cost. Not because what we see is a dropping demand, but we still do not see a strongly, important beneficial effect from a cost perspective, no? From a raw material and from components perspective. We take away the fact that our finances are under control, that we generate cash, that we are facing a second part of the year in which, despite the demand will be difficult, and we will discuss soon about this, we will not incur in all of those non-recurring costs that last year we had coming from the restructuring of our industrial footprint in Europe. So we see an opportunity not to have enough liquidity also to keep investing on our plan, which is a long-term plan and which is already starting to pay back in our perspective. It's also the proper moment, in my point of view, to share a guidance, an estimate, no, on how we see 2023. We see a year, as I already mentioned, that will keep to be difficult. So we see an overall perspective of a revenue growth in the region of 8%. No? That embed two main quotes inside. First of all, cooking demand will not improve significantly in the second half of the year. There are no reason for the improvement. The interest rate is high. What is happening to the housing market, that it is indirectly affecting our business, is not supposed to change dramatically. No? So we need to count on this market to defend our costs and to keep following our priorities that are defending our market share, because we want to be stronger than we are now when the demand will start to grow, and to phase in all our new complete range of products, because this is the Elica of the future. This will allow us, with the same costs, to have, instead of one, basically four products to be sold by the salesmen, the same salesmen to the same customers in those countries in which we have already a commercial organization. So it's a synergy, the concept itself of synergy. From a model division, in this moment, there is a destocking momentum. So exactly what happened last year when we were discussing the outlook of quarter three. We see the main customers that are decreasing their orders in order to normalize the stock. What we believe is that this will not be a long destocking momentum as it happened for the cooking business, because in any case, all of the electrical transition, faster or slow, that it will go, will pass through an electric motor, and we are there. Here, the priorities are basically two. Heat pumps, quarter four is the key quarter, because we will start in order to be ready to have a full production from the 1st of January 2024. And of course, hydrogen. So complete the homologation that, as we mentioned many times, is not yet a strong revenue lever, but for sure is a huge value proposition lever, because whatever product is not yet homologated will not be in the catalog of our customers. In this scenario, which is a difficult scenario from a revenue perspective, we see an operating margin that increased percentage-wise versus last year. What we saw in the second quarter, it's the evidence that we can do better, that we have all of the levers, instrument, competencies within our organization to challenge ourselves to improve our profitability, even in a discontinuous year like 2023. By consequence, we do not see any tension from a net financial position perspective, so we will have the solidity to keep investing on our products, on our long-term plan, on our growth, if there is the possibility, the chance to do it, and on our people, of course. This because, and if we move to slide 17, we then pass to the Q&A session, we believe in the last couple of years we have set all of the fundamentals to improve what are our commitments to match exactly what is our midterm strategy. On a cooking division, we have a flexible European footprint that in this moment is giving us margins and is defending us from a flexibility perspective, from a demand that is the 20% less of what it was last year. We have been reducing our operational costs in a massive way. Today, during the board of directors, we were commenting the fact that today Elica Corporate counts something like 270 people. 2 years ago, we were 450. So these have been done managing our people. These have been done growing our young employees while some people were leaving the company silently in a, how can I say, sustainable way, also from a human perspective, but that was resizing our business to a long-term perspective. We are completing our cooking product range. Hobs, ovens, love that we can buy at the end of the year, and also wine cellars that are in our catalog starting from July. So full range. Today, our salespeople had one product to sell to our customers. It was an aspiration hub, or it was an industrial. Today, the potential is five. Even if we do one of the five, we are doubling the revenues. This is the basic mathematics. In the same moment, we are reshaping our North America distribution. We discussed many times of how good we are doing in North America, despite we are still small, but from July we have started our own production of induction and aspiration hubs in our Mexican facility in order to be the first European brand with a competitive and also logistically attractive facility to serve the U.S. In the U.S., it's starting what started, I would say, 5 years ago in Europe. So gas is rapidly, I would say, because there is also a regulation evolution behind starting to take over gas, because it is consuming less, because it's more sustainable, and because it's even more beautiful. No, we are there. No, we are in the premium distribution. And we are also, together with some partners, working to enlarge our distribution, to have more food on the ground. No? So to start scaling a level of distribution in order to be closer to our customers. Same for what concerns our model division. All of the levers that will drive us in the future successfully are there. The acquisition of EMC in 2021, then in the beginning of 2022, became a spin-off, a new company within the group that is Elica Model Division. This brought us operational synergies. This brought us full mix for our customers. This brought us also those size that allowed us from an R&D and investment perspective to be one of the first among hydrogen homologation, and that will allow us by the end of the year to be one of the references for whatever ventilation systems are behind any pump. If we put all of these factors together, despite we are fighting, I would say successfully, a very difficult moment in our sector, we see all of the things that we need to benefit from the recovery of the demand, and also from a stabilization of the demand in order to achieve our midterm target that remains the same, that remains ambitious, because there are all the elements to be ambitious in here. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use handsets when asking questions. The first question is from Carlo Maritano of Intermonte. Please, go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just have some questions, some clarification on the guidance. The first one is related to the outlook for the cooking business. So you said that you do not expect an improvement in the second part of the year in terms of demand. I was wondering if the trends that you expect in the OEMs and in the home brands are similar, or do you expect some difference in the trends? And again, regarding the cooking business, I was wondering if you believe that the current low level of stocks at the distributors could represent a bottom, or if you expect some more pressure in the coming months. Then on the motor business, you say that you are experiencing the stocking, so I was wondering if you expect in the third quarter a performance that is in line with the second quarter or even worsening. And finally, on operating margin, you guide to a 10-20 basis point improvement compared to last year. I was wondering if your assumption includes some easing of the raw material environment, or are at the current situation, and only based also on the restructuring of the industrial footprint. Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Carlo. The first one was, I guess, related to the second half of the year. How do we imagine? We imagine a normalizing trend, meaning that from a side, the stocking process has been closed, I would say, between the end of last year and the beginning of this year. I'm talking about cooking, of course. No, so that won't be anymore an issue. No, we see for sure a more resilient home brand business, and this mainly coming from the fact that we are introducing new products in there, no? So, and that we are working well on the American distribution, despite we are talking about the smallest number versus our OEM American role. But we also see, from a B2B perspective, the opportunity that is coming from new customers, no? We are performing very well in North America with the Home Depot, no? Which started in April, which is increasing month after month the contribution to our American facility revenues. But we also know that we have other projects in the U.S. with other important customers. I would say Bertazzoni, just to give a name that everybody knows. So that's an opportunity that will sustain our OEM business. On the other side, also in Europe, from an OEM perspective, we see some opportunities in customers that are, of course, suffering the market conditions, but performing in some specific sectors very well, like BSH. So I would say that versus last year, we see the opportunity of a small improvement in both sides. B2C for the new products mainly, and B2B for what concerns the contribution on new customers in a destocking situation, which is closed. So we do not expect further destocking from any of our customers in this moment. If they didn't do so far, it means that they are where they should be. For what concerns instead the motor division, what we see now is a difficult quarter three, with a July and August months that are basically ordered, to be produced, and with a September that is being built in the next weeks. Now, so we expect in any case to see a drop in the motor division, I would say, in this moment, coherent with the loss of revenues that we had in quarter two. I would say in the second half of quarter two. So it would be, I would say, a double-digit drop. No, again, September is under evaluation. No, so but July and August are finalized. At the same time, for the planning that we see, we expect a normalization on the number in the, I would say, mid of quarter four. Margins, yes. The third point was on the margins. But we see many factors. We see the effect of the industrial plan, of course, which will contribute to the full year margin, which has structurally decreased our costs and also our service costs, because Poland is closer to many of the markets that we serve in Europe. We see a low contribution from raw material, but for sure increasing versus the first half of the year, where it was basically nil. So below 1 million in 6 months. This because there was some stock, as we already shared. This because also the velocity of the demand drop was not comparable to the velocity in which our suppliers started to discuss their prices with us. We see also the effect of all of the action of cost reduction that we have put in place in the first part of the year, that had effect for sure partially in the first part of the year, but that will be carrying over their effect more structurally in the second half of the year. Of course, we imagine also a contribution coming from the mix. We have done some repositioning activities on the aspiration ops that were suffering, from a competition perspective, not only from a demand perspective, in the very first part of the year, and that we are sure will give them back their effects. No? So also from a mix, we imagine to recover some marginality that then will be transferred bottom down in our financials. I hope I have answered all of the points.
Yes, thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about the market data that you provided for the second quarter. If my calculations are not wrong, I am calculating that in Europe alone, you had in second quarter basically that are selling data, of course, minus 20% of volumes versus pre-COVID levels, so versus 2019. So it's clearly a very harsh decline. So just to have your perception, what could be instead the delta of between sell-out and sell-in? Because I don't think so that the sell-out data is like minus 20%. So this is my first question. My second question is instead, you talked about some promotion in the business in second quarter. So just to have a rough idea, minus 14%, minus 13.6% organic in second quarter, how much was negative pricing in the second quarter? Then my third question is about headwinds. So last year, if I am not wrong, you had around 50 million of negative headwinds coming from raw material, logistics, inflation, etc. You stated about roughly no positive tailwinds in the first half. So just to imagine, when do you expect actually a reversal or a key impact on numbers coming from declining, current declining of raw material, components, etc. And finally, my last question about the tax rate. So in the first half was 22%. We have always talked about around 30% plus for normative tax rate. I would like to know if so this kind of tax rate is something one-off, or we can have a better tax rate for the year end. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alessandro, for your questions. Allora, market data is a difficult comparison, no? For two reasons. No? We are talking about units, no? And we know that there have been strong pricing activity, no, between pre and post COVID. No, for sure there are two factors. We imagine in this moment that the market overall is at the size of 2019. No, so taking the data of the first 2 months and doing a proportion in terms of units, we expect that the size of the market is that one. In this moment, in the volumes, there are also two factors. From a side, the pricing that have been growing, but from the other side, the two discontinuities, I would say. First of all, no, the one that we already shared, that Electrolux, after the acquisition of Best, have been taking out some families from our production. No, that is basically almost completed this process. So there is an element which was there in 2019, the acquisition was 2017, and which is not there anymore. And on the other side also, and Whirlpool is one of our important customers also in EMEA, the fact that the business of Whirlpool, how can I say, have been not so much effective in EMEA. No, so these are the two main elements, I would say, because from a own brand perspective, there has been a constant growth in terms of unit, in terms of mix, not with a constant growth of the aspirational family, and also from 2021 on in terms of a massive price increase. Also, it's very difficult to compare the two data. What I would say is that it's probably not a matter of sell-in, sell-out differences. No, from between sell-in and sell-out, there is basically the stock of our customers. That in a, how can I say, in a negative demand moment, like the one we are facing in the last 12 months, for sure is longer. So let's talk about 3 months. Otherwise, it's structurally in the region of 1 up to 2 months, depending on the size and also the financial capability of our distribution customers or kitchen makers. The second point was on the headwinds.
Yes, it was. Exactly.
Yeah, what we were last year we mentioned an effect of almost 60 million, as you correctly stated during your question. This year, what we see, I would say in the second part of the year, accelerating, let's say, between quarter three and quarter four, no more than, I would say, 5 to 6 million. No, why? Because the first part of the year we had stock, because the first part of the year also from a negotiation perspective, we had some orders to fulfill coming from 2022, where we stopped the buying the products, the parts, the components, and so on, because the market suddenly dropped down between July and August. No? The second part of the year, we see that some commodities are going cheaper. We see also a lot of resistance in some other commodities that are important for us. But at the same time, we see, I would say, we have almost in our hand the opportunity to start reducing the cost. In a mid-term perspective, of course, this is an opportunity, because it means that we, by the end of the year, we will still have 55 million, that means a lot of inflationary effects in our cost. And sooner or later, this will come back, as it always happens, especially in a demand environment that is not supposed to turn strongly positive in the incoming months. No, so again, this is an opportunity, and this is what our procurement guys will be stressing our suppliers as soon as the 2024 negotiation phase starts. Your final point was on the tax rate, if I remember well. I
was about the organic growth in the second quarter was -14%, roughly speaking. I was wondering how much pricing, negative pricing, you had in the second quarter, considering that you stated about promotional activity and so on.
Well, it's very difficult to estimate, you know, because these are actions that goes, I would say, also market by market. So we study the market, we understand where are our competitors, or who is attacking us, is positioning their products, and we make our decision, which is first starting with the promo, and then if we understand that the promo pays back, so that there are volumes coming back that are more than the discount we are offering, that's a repositioning. So we change the price to the product in the catalog of our customers. I would say an effect in the region of 2%. No, but again, it's a very, very rough estimate.
Okay. Finally, on taxes.
BTC cooking. No, so it's not a number to be used flat on the global revenues.
Okay.
That is including also the impact of the demand of the aspiration hubs that turned negative since the second quarter.
Okay.
Okay, about the last question for the tax rate. In the second quarter, the tax rate was 20%, so almost aligned with the first quarter. The dynamics is relating to the mix of the country and mainly to the America country that is he has the highest tax rate, and consider the market and our performance in America now is affecting positive in terms of tax rates. So it's not a matter of one-off. Our expectation in the second half that within America that we recover, slight recover of the turnover, also the tax rate will increase respect to the first half, so will be normalized with something that is more close to 25-30% of tax rate.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Emanuele Negri of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking my question. The first one is on the guidance. You project a kind of -8% on revenues for the full year. Can you just give some details on how much is price and how much is volumes about this -8%? The second one is related actually to the first one, and it is, are you observing some pressure on prices from OEM customers? I mean, are they asking you to lower your price considering the normalizing trend of raw materials? And the last one is on the reallocation of the industrial footprint. Originally, we were expecting kind of 1% EBIT margin positive contribution from the location in Poland. When can we expect this 1% to materialize given the weak demand context?
Uh, Thank you for the question, Emanuele. So 8%, yes. I mean, it's very difficult to have a Pareto between price and volume. No, so this is as I mentioned in the previous answer, we are estimating a 2% pricing, negative pricing effect on our branded cooking business. No, paid back by volumes. No, so but that's an estimate on the base of what we see that we have to do today. No, so we go in France. I'll give you an example. We understand that an Electrolux aspiration hob with the same specs of our Nikola Tesla is placed 500 euros retail price below our offer. So we do a specific promo on that product, including service, including maybe extra warranties, including some filters, with a discount of 15%. If it works, no, that means that we see the volume coming back where where we expected them to be. If we see that, let's say, it's the enemy in this case makes a step back, it means that probably is the moment to reposition the product. No, so, but again, we have similar initiatives in France, in Italy, in Spain, in Germany, in Poland. No, it's a EU kind of things, because in the US we are playing, I would say, in a different championship. Premium brand, small retailers, so our value is very well protected, I would say. But a fair estimation could be a 2% effect on H2 branded sales in Europe. OEM, yes, they're asking, of course, because they have they're big, they have strong procurement offices, but at the same time, they are suffering a lot in terms of volumes. So in this moment, with, again, some exception, when we see the opportunity to exchange price with volume, we are holding them back, because the cost of a product is for sure made of raw material, but it's made also of fixed cost, and both of them need to be paid back. So in this moment, despite their asking, we are not, how can I say, reducing our pricing structurally, because the volume that they are buying from our from our factories is strongly below the agreements that we have with them. So we have the power to say no and to say yes, but you have to buy the 20% more. If you do that, you get your 2% discount. So it's a continuous negotiation mood, but the overall situation is keeping our prices, I would say, safe from this perspective. From what concerned the last point that was on the industrial footprint, I would say that the 1% EBIT is there. No, the point is that part is visible for sure, a big contribution in this 6% with 126 million euros revenues, which is one of the lowest I remember in the last 3 years I'm doing this job, is coming from the fact that our Polish produced appliances are a lot cheaper than they were when we were producing them in Merkel. The second part in this moment is flexibility, it's cost avoidance, meaning that if we didn't do the plan, we would have had at least 7 million euros of cost more. I don't know, four were coming from the fact that this product was being produced in Italy with a labor cost of almost 25 euros an hour against the 6-7 that we pay in Poland. And then put it on a lorry and distributed for, I would say, at least 50% in other countries in Europe that would have been closer to Poland than to Fabriano in Italy. Secondly, from the fact that I would have had in Italy 200 people without nothing to do that I would have had to pay. No? So I would say that in this moment, the savings are coming partially as producing more competitively the same product range, and partially from a strong cost avoidance. we do not see the cost avoidance, but I would say we avoid seeing the cost. Otherwise, the number would have been strongly different. Of course, this is a strong lever if we think to the future, because when the market will settle down in Poland, we can grow of 50 people in less than a couple of weeks. No? So the reactivity in a direction or in another of our forest plant will allow us to grow as soon as we see positive signals from our OEM customers or from our branded customers, but at the same time have allowed us so far to reduce of almost 300 people last year in a couple of months, basically without paying any fixed cost. This is a big advantage in a long-term perspective of this project.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Alberto Francese of Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. Alberto Francese, Intesa San Paolo. If I made the right calculation based on your guidance on revenue and EBIT margin for 23, I have an EBIT, adjusted EBIT for the second half of 23, which should be increasing significantly versus the second half of 22. And with a margin of 6.5% or something more. Is it correct? First question. And if this is correct, having a 6.5% EBIT margin in the second part of 23, now with revenues probably in the range of 250 million, what can we expect if you have revenue in the semester at 290 million as you had in the first half of 22. So just to understand that these action that you have taken in the industrial flexibility, cost containment, and all these things that you explained today, how they activate the operating leverage. Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the calculation that you made, you are perfectly correct and right, because in terms of profitability, the second half will improve versus the first half. We put in place faster cost takeout actions that we will see the impact in the second half of the year. In terms of focus on SG&A, labor costs, and we started when we understand also that the market will be not improved in the second half of the year, we start to accelerate on additional activity in terms of cost to take out. The second one is related to the improvement that we expect that is coming from our Mexico facility in terms of cost optimization, in terms of opportunity, because now we saw a weak market demand in America, and so also a decrease in terms of turnover minus 27% versus the last year and H1, and we expect a recovery versus the first half of the year, also versus a slight recovery also versus the last year, and taking consideration that the profitability for the America is higher than the EMEA country. And also, we saw that we don't see any kind of improvement in terms of raw material. We try to maximize what is expected to reach during the current year, what we expect around 5 million. Consider that 1 million is what we saw in the H1, the remaining part, and so around 4 million is what we can see in the second part of the year. So To summarize, further cost action that we took in place when we understand better the macro scenario. The improvement of the mix in terms of region, and so more operation and efficiency from Mexico facility, and also a mix improvement in North America. The main part of the procurement that we estimating for the current year, that in the first half is only a minimal part, and also what we saw in the first, and in particular in the second quarter, it was a negative impact in terms of mix due to the reduction of the demand in the aspiration ops. We expect, thanks to the action that we put in place to recover competitiveness in our aspiration ops, to have a beneficial improvement in terms of mix in the second part of the year. Hopefully to answer to your question.
Yes, just as a soft simulation, if should you have should you get back now to revenues in a semester of 290 million as it was in the first half of 22, this 6.5%, what could be?
Sorry, say it again, the question.
I was thinking that you probably will have a 6.5% EBIT margin in the second part of 23 with a revenue of 250 million. Okay, in the first half of 22, you reached the 290 million revenue. So this 6.5%, what could be when you will one day be back to such a level of revenues?
A lot of money, I would answer. No, seriously. I would say that basically the level of costs that we have now, we never had. In the beginning of 2022, there was already inside part of the inflection. So that was stressing our costs, but we know that sooner or later we start to come back. The organization is leaner. The production is in Poland. The complexity project is closed. The new products are being launched now, but they will be a material part of our revenue strategy next year. So I would say if our midterm target is 8, I would answer an 8. I would answer 8, not keeping some money apart from my organization, because as I mentioned at the end of the presentation, all the elements are there. So we are just ready to have a market that is, I would say, becoming the standard boring appliances market, with a plus one, plus two when it goes well, and with a minus one, minus two when it goes bad. In that scenario, we have the perfect settlement from a production, from a product, from a mix, and from a commercial perspective. This is probably the right answer.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Giulio Cocci, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Very good. So, thanks again for joining this call, and have a good summer break. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.